And now for Daf Kuf Lamed Dalet in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. And we are holding right after the solution to all of our problems, beet juice. Yes, indeed. So we're up to Lo Shachak Mi'Erev Shabbat. All right. So now we were talking about the need to use antiseptics. They used cumin as an antiseptic. So it said over there, if you didn't crush it on the Erev Shabbat, then you can chew it. If you chew it, then it's okay. And if you didn't mix your wine and oil before Shabbos, then you can do each one by itself. Tana Rabbana. Dvarim she'ein osim lemila b'Shabbat, osim la b'yom tov. These things, there are certain things, we just listed them. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, but you could do it on Yom Tov. For instance, you can go ahead and you can actually crush the kamon, the cumin, on Yom Tov itself. And you can actually mix the Yayin v'Shemen, which we said you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Omer le Abaye le Rav Yosef. I don't understand. I mean, it doesn't seem consistent to me. Why are you saying that you're allowed to crush the kamon on Yom Tov? Obviously, because the Chazir le Kedera. It's something that you can use for cooking, and therefore you're allowed to cook the way you would normally cook on Yom Tov. So, I mean, if that's the case, then Yayin v'Shemen, I'm not doing it for cooking, am I? I'm doing it for putting on the milah. Okay, so you're saying that doesn't matter. Okay, so then Yayin v'Shemen, I'm allowed to put Yayin v'Shemen on mixed for a regular sick person, not somebody who's a misukan, because it says beferish, ein torfim Yayin v'Shemen l'chole b'Shabbat, whereas Reb Shimon ben Elazar b'shum Rabbi Meir, and the Stam Mishnah should be Rabbi Meir, right? So according to Rabbi Meir, he says if you've got somebody that's sick, he's got a cold, and he's laid up in bed, nothing serious, and you can even be Torah Shemen V'Yayin. So if I could be Torah Shemen V'Yayin on Shabbos for that purpose, why can't I do it for the milah? Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, I could tell you, by the way, that Pam Achat Chash Rabbi Meir B'Meyab, Rabbi Meir was having a lot of stomach pain once, and we wanted to use this Yayin V'Shemen as mixed and properly mixed up, and he didn't allow us. So we said to him, what do you mean he didn't allow us? I mean, this is your shita. You're going to allow your own psak halacha to become batel in your lifetime. At least now you can define it and you can defend it, you know? Omar Lano, so he said, look, as far, I believe that's the halacha, okay? When it comes to myself, I don't go against my chaverim. If my chaverim paskin not like that, I'm machmir. But I hold for everybody else, it certainly is mutter. So Amar lano af api shani omer kach v'chaveirai omrim kach miyomai lo mila'ani libi la'avor al divrei chaveirai. I mean, for myself, I don't want to go against what all of my chaverim say. But that means that according to Rabbi Meir, mi'ikar adin, he holds that it's mutter. So why, if it's mutter, why in the world aren't we allowed to do it? The Mishnah should be Rabbi Meir. And that means he's only being machmer on himself, right? I mean, who knew the machmer on Afshe? The Kulei Amashori is being martyred for everybody else. Says Rabbi Yossi, there's a big difference because where he was talking about over there using Yayin v'Shemen for somebody who is ill, just somebody who's lightly ill, that's talking about without really beating it together. So it doesn't require lika. Lika means a really powerful beating. So you put it through a blender. But hacha by lika, when you're talking about for Mila, Milad only works really well if you blend it. You can't blend it because that's already similar to preparing things for cooking and so on. So Rabbanan answered it. Okay, so fine, but I mean, why do it separately? You say you could put some on separately. Little wine, little oil. I mean, so at least mix it. Fine, don't put it through the blender, but mix it. So Navid Velo Lilith. Says the Gemara, that's exactly what the Mishnah means. When it says you could put it separately, it doesn't mean literally separately. It means that since in terms of Mila, you would require putting it through a blender. So that means, okay, so now it's not blended. All right, so put it on as if it's separate. It's not well enough mixed. It didn't mean literally that you put each one separately. Tana Rabbana, some other inyanim, once already we were talking about Abaya and Rabbi Yosef and they're being chelek between things that seem very similar. We have a number of ma'amorim that follow that exact structure where we have a din and then we have a question, why is it any different? Rabbi asks Rav Yosef and he explains the difference. We have other things like that, so we're going to bring them in anyway once we're talking about the Shabbos and Yontav issues. So in Mesanenet et Hachardal b'Mesanenet Shalom. So you don't put the mustard in those days. Of course, you first had the mustard seeds. You put them through a strainer in order to get rid of any kind of dirt and stuff that was in there. It wasn't really dirt. It was the outside of the seeds. And so you don't do that on Yontav, it's talking about. And you don't do the normal thing that they used to do. They would stick a burning coal inside of the mustard seeds, and that would put it out, but it would make the seeds sweeter. So it would just give it a better taste. So ima matkinoto begachelet, you can't do that either on Shabbos. So Abai asks again, the same way he did in our sugya, he asks Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand. What's the difference between this case, when it says beferish, that you are allowed to put a raw egg into a mustard strainer? And you do that because it doesn't do anything for the egg, which is going to go to waste, but it makes the mustard look sharper. Like, it really looks good. So that you're even allowed to do on Shabbos. We're going to have this later on. So if that's the case, then why wouldn't you be allowed to put the mustard through its own strainer, even on Yontav? I mean, on Yontav, it should be much more mutter than Shabbos, because I'm allowed to do Tzarech HaKol Nefesh. Oh, Malay, no, you don't understand. It doesn't have to do with the issue of making the mustard look better. It has to do with the problem that when you put something through a strainer, so there, usually, if you're actually straining out something, like with the mustard, so then you look like it's borer, even if it isn't borer. Why isn't it borer? Tos says it isn't really borer here, because there is no difference in the edibility of the pieces that remain behind and the pieces that go through. And therefore, you can't call it psolet and ochel. But nonetheless, since there's a preference, when it's the same min, we don't consider psolet to be just because you have a preference for one part of the thing as opposed to the other, because they're exactly the same. So because of that, it's only mirzik bor. It looks as if you're being bor. Okay, so in order to avoid that, we don't even do that on Yontav. But in the case over the egg, lo mirzik bor. What is it? I mean, the egg goes through in its entirety. There's clearly no borer. Nobody would ever mix it up with borer. It's understood that what I'm doing, I'm just doing because I'm pouring coloration over the mustard seeds. That's all. So why would we asser it? And then we also said you're not allowed to stick a coal into it, which gives it a sweeter taste. But the problem is that there's a braita that says, beferish, you can do that on Yontav. It's not a problem. It depends what type of gachelet you're talking about. In the case where we said it's mutter in the braisa, yes, but that's talking about a metal, heated metal. So take heated metal, there's no issue over there of kivui, because there's nothing you can do that is a tikkun with kivui. But gachelet shel eitz, we've got a problem, because a gachelet shel eitz, there's an issue of making charcoal, b'deshuo sepecham, like we had before. And that is actually a real iser. Omele Abayla Rav Yosef, why is this different than making a barbecue? I mean, if you make a barbecue on Yontav, then obviously the barbecue is going to be dripping onto the wood that's underneath. And actually, you want it to make charcoal. It tastes better, charcoal broiled and everything. So how come over there you're allowed to do that? Or Marley, well, what else are you supposed to do? Are you allowed to do a barbecue on Yontav? Suppose you want to eat meat that's barbecued. What are you supposed to do? Do your barbecue yesterday? Huh, that's going to be really tasty. So obviously, the only thing you could do, there's no other way to do it. So when the Torah said that I'm being matur eichel nefesh, that includes being matur eichel nefesh for barbecues. Mashein Kane over here, obviously, it's not going to be any different if you took care of your mustard erev Yontav or you take care of your mustard on Yontav. The mustard is something, as we know, lasts for months, and there's no point in it being freshly done on Yontav himself. Okay, another issue. Omale Abayel Rav Yosef. Again, something has to do with food on the issues of Yontav. Would you be allowed to make cheese on Yontav? Says Rav Yosef, nope. So Abaya said, well, why not? I mean, you're allowed to make dough, aren't you? So if you're allowed to make dough, I mean, cheese is basically the same thing. Why in the world would cheese be usser? What you do over there is you squeeze the curds of the milk together. I mean, according to some, that's mamish like lisha. Why can't I do one for bread and I can't do this for cheese? Said Rabbi Yosef, look, it's the same thing, man. You can't make fresh bread on Erev Yontev. It's got to be made on Yontev. So what do you want him to do? So, of course, that's what the Torah was saying you're allowed to do on Yontev, because that is what it means to eat as a Tzorech Kol Nefesh. I don't want stale bread from yesterday. Masha'en Kein, over here, cheese? Makes a difference if the cheese is 2 days old or 3 weeks old? That's the whole point of cheese, isn't it? Is it? Didn't they say in Narda that Gvina Bat Yuma Ma'alya, fresh cheese just made today, is great? Says the Gemara, that doesn't mean it's best. It means it's also great. Even Gvina Bas Yuma, you know what? We love cheese so much. Even fresh cheese is good. That's all he's saying. Not saying it's better to have fresh cheese. Everybody knows it's not better to have fresh cheese. Okay, anyway, let's get back to Tzorchei Mila now that we finished our cheese and I get a drink before Barnea starts at me. There we go. Okay. So now what we said is, in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to make the special chaluk. Now, the chaluk, remember, is not a regular bandage. It is a made-to-order for this child's penis. It fits perfectly, and it comes right up underneath the corona, and therefore, it's got to be made for this child. But what if you didn't make it? So we said the whole thing. You could take a bandage, use a bandage, and so on and so forth. So Abaye said, listen, my mommy told me, we know his mommy is really his nanny, and she told me, listen, whenever you're making that special kind of, a chaluk really means like a shirt, a piece of clothing. So hai chaluk dianuka, lepanya lesitra le'iloi. What you need to do is you should always take the edge of this beged and make sure that you flip the edge over so that you don't have any loose cloth that is going to be sticking out, maybe getting stuck in the wound. And when you try to take it off, you could actually damage the kid. And Dilma midbak gardamine va'ati lidei kruchovcha, you can actually mutilate him. So you have to be very careful that there shouldn't be any loose, stringy material. Ime de Abaye, and in fact, this Ime de Abaye, again, wasn't really Ime, but his nanny. She was a nurse, really. She wasn't just a nursemaid. She was a nurse. And in general, she would be the one who would take care of things like this, like making bandages and so on. She was an expert on that. So what she used to do for kids that were newly nimolim, Ime de Abaye avda kistata lepalga, what she would do is she lined the inside of the bandage halfway down to make sure that there wouldn't be anything at all that could get caught in any bloody area that would then possibly cause damage when it was removed. Omer Abaye, hai yenuka delet lechaluk. So we were talking about a case where you didn't have an opportunity to make one of these clothing, I don't know what you would call this kind of thing, but, you know, I mean, we're using the word for shirt. It's a chaluk. So laite belita de itle shifta. So the best thing to do is use a rag of some kind that has a hem in it so that you don't have these pieces that are sticking out. But over here, we're talking about using it in the opposite direction. What we want to do is we want to have the hem at the bottom of the shaft of the penis. Why? Because it needs to be tight. So if it's got a hem, I'm going to be able to put it on tightly. And then the other side, so that lichrichel shifta letatoi, so that tie around the bottom of the shaft, va'ayif le le'iloi, and then double, like we said before, the part that has the little pieces of material that doesn't have a hem, that you have to go ahead and flip over, like we said before, because if you don't flip it over, we're worried about little pieces, chas v'shalom, getting stuck. Another thing that my mommy told me is that hayanuka deloya diem mafakte. I don't know of this particular condition other than in cases that have to do with the entire genital area being covered, but apparently there's such a thing where there's this thin piece of skin that's actually covering over the buttocks so that there's no clear anus. And you don't know where in the world the child's anus is. You're going to have to cut through that membrane, and you don't want to cut where you don't need to cut. So then, l'shayfei mishcha v'luk min hadayuma, rub the whole area with oil, put him up into the sun, and you'll see there's places where it's clear, the skin becomes more clear, more transparent because of the oil that's penetrated in it. And there, what you do is do not use metal. Metal causes, Rashi says, flaming, which is inflammation. Actually, uses the word like that. Okay, don't use that. But use, what you should do is you should use barley, which has a sharp top on a grain of barley. So just make a incision that goes in crosswise directions. And that way, you know, you'll be able to just, you know, the skin will fall off. You'll be able to get them back to normal. Another thing that my mommy told me was that if you've got a child that isn't suckling properly, so it's very often because his lips are chilled. And because of that, it's harder for him to move them. They're not as elastic as they usually are. So what you want to do is warm him up. So Mike Takante, Leite Kasa de Gumri, try the old Moshe Rabbeinu trick. Just don't let him grab it. So fill up something with coals. But don't hand it to him now. Fill up something with coals and put it near his mouth warm enough so it starts getting warm. And Linkede Lahade Pume, that once his mouth warms up, you'll see he'll do a better job at nursing. Another thing my mommy told me was that Hayanuka de lo menashte, if you've got a child that does not seem to be breathing properly, you can't detect any kind of breathing. So Linfefe benafata, you should actually use a fan, a bellows, to get him breathing, umenashte. That'll get him breathing. Vamra, by another thing that Amrali aimed, mommy also told me that Hayanuka de lo ma'ave, leitu silta de ime, vile sharke iluye uma'ave. If you have a child that is clearly not getting enough air, he doesn't cry, he's not making noise, so then use the old trick of taking the afterbirth, taking the shilya, and slide it over him, and that will make him more responsive. Vamra, by Amrali aimed, another thing that mommy told me was that if a child is looking improperly nursed, he's not putting on weight, so he's doing poorly. That's, you know, failure to develop, which doesn't have any particular cause. Laite la silta de ime, use the shilya again, the afterbirth. Vele sharke lumi kutna la uma, make sure that you take the narrow part of the shilya and move it over his body towards the broader part of the shilya, as if a sign that you want the child to be getting bigger and bigger. The eolium, if the kid is swollen, this doesn't mean he's got a lot of nice fat on him. It means he's swelled up for something. Then you can do the same thing, but do it in the other direction. There, move it from uma lakutna. Move it from the wide part to the narrow part. V'yomer Rabbi, another thing that mommy told me was a hayinuka de sumak. If the body of the child is very red, that is a sign nakati lo yibalot beitama. He does not yet have a mature circulatory system. Do not give him a brit milah yet. You should wait. Wait until he looks normal. Adi ibala beidama, wait until the blood is going in his body the way it is in everybody else. Not that it's near the skin, he's got too much of this redness. Then you can be malim. And in the case that he's yellow, that's a sign that his blood is not properly formed yet. And therefore, you have to be very careful not to do a brit mila until he becomes normal, and only then you can do a mila. And we know there was a brisa about that also, way before the time of Abaya's mommy, because Rabbi Nosson said, two famous stories, where once I went to Karchei Hayam, I went to one of the cities, I guess, on the coast, probably all in Barnea's neighborhood, and a woman comes to me, and she's got a real problem because there was no record in her family of any hemophilia. She had given a mila to her first child. The child died. She gave a mila to her second child. The child died. She was not about to do a brit on her third child. She brings the child to me and says, look, I don't know what to do. Can you examine him? Tell me what to do. So I look at the child, and I see that he's actually very red. So I said to her, you know what? You better wait a while until all of this ruddiness disappears, because Amtinilachi Balabodomo, you want his blood to be properly circulating. Amtinilachi Nivabodomo, she did. And then she gave him the Brit Milah, and he lived, and of course they called him Natana Bavli, just to make sure everybody would know that it's named after me. They could have just called him Natan. Oh, no, no, no. Natana Bavli, they called him. Anyway, another time, I went to one of Barnea's favorite places, Midinat Kapotkia, and Bati Shachat, there we go, he went to get it, and he's showing us the plates that he brought from Kapotkia at the neighborhood Makolet. Very good. So I had the same story. This woman had again, no history of hemophilia, no sign of excessive bleeding. For some reason, the child died after Mila. Older child, second child died after Mila. She brings me her third child. She says, look, I'm not going to do a bris Mila until you look at him and tell me it's okay. So I look at him, and he, first of all, I immediately see that he's yellow. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, so I look more closely at his genitals, and I see that there's no blood there at all. There's like no coloration at all. And so I said to her, listen, you got two problems over here, basically. First of all, there's a big inyan that there has to be dom of a Brit. You're not going to have any dom of a Brit. But also, you've got a very weak kid over here who's got a problem with his blood. You know, I mean, he started carrying around a bilirubin measuring thing, not Bavli. But that's why they call him Bavli for bilirubin. Yes, one of Barnea's things. So anyway, wait. And she waited. And sure enough, they called him. Nuss and Abavli, Al Shmi. So there were two kids known as Nuss and Abavli. Okay, now we move on to the next stage of the machlokas. What the halacha machlokas is about, how far we can do on the Mila. So we spoke about the actual Mila itself. The question is, what about other things that you do? And one of those things is marchitzim et hakatan. So, okay, we are not makbet again, because the Rishonim say that nishtanu ateva, like many of these things. But according to the Gemara, this was a sakona, not doing a proper wash. What this wash is, we'll see in the Gemara. And you were even allowed to warm water hot, to make the water hot on that day. And if it's the day of the Mila, for sure you could do this both before and after the Mila. And the question is how long you're allowed to do this. If it's the first day, falls out on Shabbos, the actual Mila, that's one halacha. But how long can you continue doing this? Let's say the Mila was on Friday or on Thursday. How long would you be allowed to continue washing in the post-Mila wash? How long could you do that? So
Doc can introduce the Mishnah.
Oh, Doc is here. Correct. Oh, man, Doc, I almost let you get away with murder. Whoa. Give it to us.
Go with Milo.
Go.
Zokta Heni Kamishna.
What? Last time you did a credible imitation of Richie.
Zokta Heni Kamishna.
Oh, there we go. Very good. Okay, so the Mishnah then begins like this, marchitzim et hakatan. So you can do this bathing, whatever it is we're going to see, whether we're talking about before the Mila, whether we're talking about after the Mila, because as I said, both of them were considered to be essential. And you can actually take your hand, sprinkle the warm water on him with your hand, but you can't even use a kli to put this water on him, which of course is a contradiction. You said you could actually bathe him, so What do you mean, use your hand? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, marchitzim et hakatan bayom ha-shelishi shechal liyot b'shabbat. You can even bathe him, even on the third day if it falls out on Shabbos. Forget about the day of Mila. Shenema vayi bayom ha-shelishi beheyotam koavim. So with the whole Maisa of Shechem, it says that there it was on the third day. And that means that there were already 3 days in which they had suffered and were not yet recovered. And that was the best time to attack them, not because that's the worst day, but because the cumulative effects would be on that day. Now, but that meanwhile, it shows that certainly the symptoms and the pain of the Mila were going to still be going on the third day. Now, let's just look a little bit more closely. There's obviously a problem over here, right? As we mentioned, it says, first it says marchitzim, which appears to say that you can give him a bath. And then it says you could sprinkle him. So what do you mean sprinkle him? That was the first question. The other question is, the Rabbanan didn't say anything about what day, did they? They just said you can wash him, whether it's before the Mila or after the Mila. Now, obviously, it's a prejudice on our part to think that because of the fact that we mentioned before the Mila, then that means it must be right before the Mila, and La'achra Mila means right after the Mila. There's absolutely no basis for that assumption, correct? Before the Mila clearly means before the Mila, but after the Mila could mean on that day, on the next day after the Mila, on the third day after the Mila. We have no idea what the Rabbanan are talking about. It's only when Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, he says you can be marchitzim et hakatan b'yom hashlishi, that there we note, so then that means apparently that the Rabbanan did not hold that marchitzim et hakatan b'yom hashlishi. Now, there's two possible issues that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is taking exception to. Okay, one of them is that this would imply that according to the Rabbanan, you could not do what you're doing on the Yom HaShlishi, and just to keep things as tight as possible, information rich as possible, we didn't mention how many days the Rabbanan were talking about, and now when we expand on it in Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria, it's clear that Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria is saying, oh no, that's not true, you can even do it on the Yom HaShlishi, right? Which is mashma that the Rabbanan were only saying you could do it maybe the first day, maybe the second day, but you can't do it on the Yom HaShlishi. The thing is that if that's all he was saying, why did he say again, marchitzin et hakatan? The Rabbanan were also talking about marchitzin et hakatan, no? I mean, if all he wants to do is say af b'yom hashlishi, then he could have said that, af b'yom hashlishi. So something's funny about this Mishnah, and we're going to have to analyze it a little bit better. Now, if you have a case where there's a suffix as to whether this Mila is okay, because remember, at the time of the Gemara, a premature 9-month pregnancy meant that the child would not survive. A premature 7-month pregnancy, remember, gestation was recognized in ancient times as having two different periods. There was a 7-month gestation, what was called lo chadashav, and a 9-month gestation. A 7-month gestation could be early delivered. A 9-month gestation could not be early delivered without fetal distress and death. So, we're not sure over here whether this child is suitable to be Mechal Shabbos for the Mila, because we don't know whether he is a premature infant or not. So we're not sure. And we also, of course, we could have questions, is today the 8th day or is today the 9th day? Was born during Ben Hashboshes? Kinds of questions like that. Now, we could also have a question of what is the sex of the child? Because he might have a penis, but he might also be heavily endowed with other female parts. So we're not sure what he is. And if his sex is in doubt, then obviously you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos to do a Mila. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, an androgynous actually is considered to be a Vadai male. Okay, so now let's start with the beginning of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah contradicts itself totally. It starts off by saying that you're allowed to bathe the child, and then it says you can take your hand and sprinkle water on him. This makes sense. Ha'amit Reisha Marchitzin. Did you start by saying you can just give him a bath? How did we get to talking about sprinkling? So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Bar Avuha said, well, that's the whole point. We said that there's clearly a difference between the Rabbanan and Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer stressing that marchitzim et hakatan, right? Okay, so that's basically what's going on over here. According to the Rabbanan, the word marchitzim is being defined in an unusual way. Marchitzim et hakatan, but only insofar as you're giving him a little bit of a gentle shower. You can't really bathe him. So Ketzat, and we're explaining, when we're saying Marketzina Dakatan, Bein Lifnei Mila, Bein La'achar Mila, don't mistake that to mean that you could do what you would normally do in the week. No. Ketzat, what's the most you could do? Say the Tanakama, you could sprinkle with your hand water on him, but you can't even use a kli. You certainly can't put him in a bathtub. On my Rava, the Rava said, well, this is classic Rava, right? Well, it's a great shot except for one unfortunate thing. It ain't what it says. It says you can wash him. And washing means washing, last I heard. So Hamar Chitzin Katani. I don't like this pshat. I say the pshat is like this. El Amarava, the Tanakama is saying Mar Chitzim Et HaKatan. Bein Lifnei Amila, Bein La'achar Amila. Now look, that obviously means what it means, okay? Now, the only indication as to what changes is the fact that afterwards, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says, no, even the third day. Ah, okay, so now we know there's a machlokas about how long can you do Mar Chitzim Et HaKatan. So then what the Tanakama would say is like, look, if we're talking about the first day or the second day, so then you can wash him. But on the third day, if it comes out to be on Shabbos, Mizalfina lav b'yad avalo b'kli. That's the point. So the Rabbanan are basically giving us the different dinim that are merumas in the machlokas of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Then he's coming to tell us, you can even be marchitzin on Yom HaShlishi. And the Rabbanan are saying, no, you can't. You could be marchitzin up to the Yom HaShlishi. Perfect. And then everything fits in beautifully. Yes, you could be marchitzin, but you can only sprinkle mezalfin on Yom HaShlishi. And comes along Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, and he says, nah, you can even be marchitzin mezakatan b'Yom HaShlishi, shechal liyot b'Shabbat, shenem revayi b'Yom HaShlishi, b'ayotam ko'avim, and that still is part of the recovery period. And actually, there's even a braita that says like Rava, marchitzim akatan ben lifnei amila ben la'achar amila, B'yom HaRishon Kedarko. But how about if it's the third day, B'yom HaShlishi Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat, then we can only Mizalfin Alav B'Yad. Exactly Rava's approach. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Omer, nah, you can even be Marchitzim Et HaKatan, B'yom HaShlishi Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat, V'yavo Pishen Raya L'davar, Zecher L'davar. By the way, this part is an addition. I mean, the Mishnah just said, Shenemar Vahi. I mean, here he's saying, well, it's not really a proof, but I want to bring it as an indication that I'm right. We're going to ask in a minute why exactly it's only indication. But anyway, so Zecher L'davar is Vahi B'yom HaShlishi B'yotam Ko'avim. And if they are going to be doing what the Rabbanan said, then Kishahin Mizalfim, when they do give him that sort of shower, you don't use a cup, you don't use any kind of bowl, and any type of glass, you just put the water in your hand, and you're allowed to use your hand to wash. And that part, of course, is going to Tanakama. Now, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah doesn't give him a regular bath. But anyway, but why does the Braita add that it's no raya? Well, why isn't it a good raya? It sounds like a great raya to me. It's saying that there was like serious pain on the third day, and that's what allowed the attack on Shechem. No, because there you're talking about adults. Here we're talking about an infant. Now, infants will recover very quickly from any type of cut because they're still basically, they've got all of the original developmental hormones and so on still circulating in their blood, and it'll grow back very, very quickly. So katan, silek bebisra haya. It's going to grow back very quick. Maybe there it takes 3 days, but maybe for an infant, maybe by the third day, everything's great. Anyway, a guy comes to Rava. Rava's sitting there in his Beis HaMedrash. And he wants to know, is he allowed to wash his child today before and after the meal on Shabbos? So Rava said, yes, because that was Rava Shita. So Rava said, yes, you are. And of course, in saying that, he was arguing on Rav Yehuda and Rabba Bar Avuha's pshat, right? Because they say, no, the Rabbanan hold, even from the beginning, you can only use your hand to give him a shower. Okay, but Rava and the Braita, I mean, was good. And he went on it, la locha, and he said, yeah, you can. Anyway, Rava became sick. So he said to himself, oh, crumbs. What do I have to stick my head in an argument with these Gedolim? You know, there's Tagimnas, the Sabi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Baravua. I shouldn't have argued on them. I should have told them, no, it's usher, and you should use your hands. Amru le Rabban and le Rava, I don't understand. What's his concern that he made a mistake? There was a Farish of Brita that said that he was right. So what's he sitting over there obsessing about? Maybe he got sick because he shouldn't have given that psak. Why the heck shouldn't he have given that psak? I mean, he's got a Tana that's saying like him. So they asked him. Vatanya kavasi demar. So Rava said to them, look, I got to tell you, if you take a look closely at the Mishnah, believe it or not, I thought originally the Mishnah was exactly what I was saying, you know, but this is Rabbi Yochanan speaks out. After he got sick, he decided he better go back to the drawing board because maybe he did not properly analyze the Mishnah. So he says, if you look at the Mishnah more closely, it actually ends up being much more mashma like them and not like me, very surprisingly, even though the Braita says Beferish like me. Because look at this. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah says, Marchitzim et hakatan bayoma shelishi shechal liyot b'shabbat. Right? So now let me point out to you like this. If the Tana Kama was arguing about whether you're ever marchitzim, right? Like the way Rav Yehuda was saying, okay? Then this works out very well. Because that would be why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would be saying to them, this is completely off. You can be marchitz on the Yom HaShlishi. If you're going to tell me that the Tana Kama agreed that you could be marchitz on the Yom HaRishon and the Yom HaSheni, and he was only arguing, basically, about the Yom HaShlishi, so then when Rabbi Eliezer says what he says, marchitzim, that's not what it should have said. He should have said, you can even be marchitz on the third day, right? In other words, I'm not introducing something new when I say marchitzim. According to the way I was learning it, then he's just should have been saying, you can even wash him on the third day. But instead, that's not what he says. He says, you can wash him on the third day, which means that I disagree with you entirely. In what? Not about the third day, about whether you can wash him. So in other words, that would mean that what we're talking about over here is an argument about whether you can do real washing or whether you're stuck with always giving him this shower. What do they call that, by the way? I can't remember. A sponge shower? When you do that for a baby.
See, it's been
sponge bath. Yeah. You know, so you know, they say there's a certain amount of time after birth you're supposed to be doing that in order not to actually wash off all the protective material on the child. But anyway, so that it turns out that I think I was wrong. And I think that's why I got sick. Kiyosu Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came to Bava, Amar Rabbi Elazar, halachic Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he paskined that the halach is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which means that you'd be allowed to do regular bathing. So the question is, what does regular bathing mean? I mean, I'm not sure whether we're talking about to bathe the child or are we talking about to bathe the Mila? So, I mean, the question is, are we dealing with a systemic issue or are we dealing with a local wound issue? So, Havu B'Ma'arava, they were questioning in Eretz Yisrael, do we mean Harchatzat Kogufo or do we mean Harchatzat Mila? So, when he came, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, first of all, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah back there, but they weren't sure what was meant. Did it mean the entire thing? Or did it mean only the Mila itself? That was the question. Can't get the screen to move. So, Omar Lo'ahu Mirabonan. So, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei said to them, well, I mean, it makes no sense. Of course it means his whole body. How could it not mean his whole body? Because Isaac Adaita Charchatzat Mila, what do you think it means? You think it means, what, just a local problem on the area that was bleeding? You're always allowed to put hot water on a maka on Shabbos. Migora michamina gabi maka. We're certainly going to say mila, which is we consider to be much more chomor, is going to be worse than a regular maka. The Omar Rav ain monim chamin v'shemen miagabi maka b'Shabbat. there's no problem of putting on straight on hot water, you know, or oil. You could put it directly on. So if you're telling me that you're not allowed to use on the third day, you're not allowed to use it according to the way they're learning. So then I don't understand why would there be a problem. Obviously, we're talking about the whole body. And according to them, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it means that according to the Tanakhama, you can never do the whole body. And you can only do a sponge bath on the first 2 days, but not on the third day. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying you can do a whole body bath even on the third day. So what would be the meaning of saying we're only talking about the wound? Matki Flor Rav Yosef, excuse me? Am I missing something over here? What the heck? The thing that you're bringing about the psak of Rav of using hot water, you think he says you're allowed to heat water on Shabbos? For a choyla she'ein bo sakana? Of course not. You don't think there's a difference between water that you heat up on Shabbos or water that was there for before Shabbos? Rav is talking about using some hot water that you kept over on Shabbos in your thermos, and you want to use that. And he's saying that's not usher. And the Mishnah is talking about heating up water on Shabbos. You're trying to bring me a riot from one to the other. That's crazy. Maskefor Rav Dimi, hold on a minute. How do you know we're talking about warming up water on Shabbos? Maybe we're only talking about water that was Uchmu B'Erev Shabbos. So Abaya says, oh man, I wanted to scream out the answer to that on the spot, but Rav Yosef got there first, darn it. And he said to him, good Lord, Kodam Vishani like Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, it's a sakana, I don't understand. The whole point of the Mishnah all along is that if the dinner marchitzin is one of the halachas of sakana of the child, so obviously we're talking about if you need the water, then you need the water. Itmar nami ki asa Ravin, when Ravin came to Bavel, Omer Rabbi Abo, Omer Rabbi Elazar, some say it was Rabbi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, halachak Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and they spoke it out beferish. Bein bechamin shuchmu b'shabbat, bein bechamin shuchmu b'erev shabbat, bein archatzat kogufo, bein archatzat mila, everything is mutter, because the entire system requires that bathing, and it would be a sakona not to do it. Maybe there's a sakona hulo. Gufa. By the way, just getting back to that thing about, I mean, I know it's not our sugya exactly, but you said that Rav said that there's no problem of putting hot water and oil on top of a regular maka, not mila, you said, on Shabbos. As long as it was heated before Shabbos, I understand. And Shmuel said, well, you don't put it directly on the area that was hurt. You put it above it, and then you let it be shotet v'yored, because otherwise it's clear that you're doing it for refuah. And like we say, to do something that is clearly for refuah, that we made a gezerah because of shikat samamanim. So you should put it outside of the wound area, and then it'll just, you know, run down and get there. Meitvei. So the kasha on Rav is from this brisa. It says over here, einot nim shemen v'chamim agabim moch. You're not allowed to put oil and hot water on top of a cloth, which we would then use to put on a maka. So isn't that saying that you're not allowed to use hot water on a maka? No, of course that's not what it's saying. It's saying you're not allowed to put it on a cloth. That's because of a different issue. That's because of a gezeira that we're worried you're going to squeeze it. And over there it would be usher because of the shchita, not because of the shchika samamonim. It has nothing to do with Rav. Shmuel was talking about Shrika Samamonim. Rav was saying there's no gezer of Shrika Samamonim. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't hold if you put it on a piece of cloth, that there's not going to be a chashash of Shchita. Well, I mean, there's another brayta. The other brayta says you can't put this hot water and oil on top of a cloth which is already on the area. It's on the wound. So, I mean, are you going to... That doesn't seem like it's because of squeezing. It seems it's because you're going to be applying it to a wound. And it's saying not like Rav, that you're not allowed to put it on directly. Not true. Not true. The point over there could also be, I mean, admittedly, it's certainly not as much of a chashash that you're going to squeeze a bandage that's on the wound already. But still, you might if there's too much oil, too much water on it, so you'll squeeze it a little. So there too, that's a gezerah because of shchita, not a gezerah because of shchika samamani. But the truth is that there's a brighter that speaks out beferish, like Shmuel. Ein notin chamin v'shemen agabei makash v'shabbat, aval notin chutz l'makah v'shoted v'yored l'makah. So we have a raya from the brighter, literally word for word, what Shmuel said. Tana Rabbana. Notnim agabei makah moch yavesh usvog yavesh. You can put something that does not have any antiseptic qualities onto a wound to protect it. That's just putting on a Band-Aid. A Band-Aid isn't refuah. A Band-Aid is just there to prevent irritation of it or getting it dirty or whatever. So that's fine. So if it's dried, it's not a problem. But you cannot use a dried reed, gemi yavesh, and you cannot use dried rags. So apparently these things have some type of antiseptic quality. Wait a minute, what do you mean dried out rags? But the first part you said you can use a rag. I don't know, what's the difference? What's your moch? A moch, it's the same thing. A moch is a rag, a ketitin are rags. No, it's not true. The lotion of the moch and the ketitin are implying a difference in how new they are. So the second brice of it is that you cannot use the gemi yavesh velo ketitin yavishin. That's talking about new rags. Now, new rags do have an antiseptic quality to them. And because of that, the Rabbanan asked it because of the gzer of shchikas hamamanim. But things that have been around for a while, ba'atike, they've already been washed and used before, they do not have any remaining antiseptic effects. Omer Abaye. But meanwhile, you do see a very interesting thing. You see that new rags have antiseptic effects, which, you know, at least we can derive that from here. So Shmamina Hani Ketitin actually masu, they actually heal, and it's not just that they protect. Okay, then the next thing that we had was the din of a suffix, Vandrogonus. Rabbi Yehuda says, Androgynous, you're allowed to be mal. So Tana Rabbanan, when it says in the Pasuk, et bisar orlato, I mean, what do you mean bisar orlato, as opposed to whose? I mean, certainly we didn't expect you're supposed to take everybody in the house and give them another bris milah. So you have a child, which one is yamim, yamu b'sar Allah. What's b'sar Allah to, as opposed to who else's? So what it's saying is, no, only in special cases, meaning only where you know that this is the type of Arla that's Docha Shabbos. It's coming to tell me only some Arla is Docha and some Arla is not Docha. So if it's Vada Yom HaShmini Shalo that's Chayav and Mila, then Bisar Arla To. But if it's not, then you're not allowed to be Docha Shabbos, which means that a Suffolk is not allowed to be Docha Shabbos. And furthermore, it's telling me Arla To Vada Docha Shabbos. It would have to be someone who is clearly a male, and this is clearly a foreskin, but an androgynous, I mean, I don't know whether I'm really looking at a foreskin. I mean, maybe it's just something that looks to me like a penis, but it isn't because he really isn't a male. And therefore, it's a suffix, and an androgynous would not be Docha Shabbos. And we'll see tomorrow Rabbi Yehuda's overall shita about considering an androgynous to be a full male, which we'll get into later.